Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray in this night when we remember Jesus' birth that you would remind us not just of his birth, but of what that means for us and for the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're a regular at St. Thomas's, you'll know we've been following a series called Signs of the Kingdom over the last couple of months. I'm not sure how long. 10 weeks? 12 weeks? And tonight we come to the ultimate sign, the sign of Emmanuel. Can you imagine a world without signs? Imagine no standing signs. That wouldn't be bad, would it? Park where you like. Then again, you could have no stop signs. That mightn't be quite so bad. Not so good, I mean. You could have no exit signs, which is fine until there's a fire. You could have no smoking signs. That'd be really annoying for me. You could have no one-way signs. That would be really bad. I know you only ever go one way down the street, but if you go down the wrong way, it's a bit of a problem. Our world couldn't operate, could it, without signs? Particularly signs that have something to do with our safety. Well, tonight I was thinking about one particular sign. Perhaps it was a warning sign. Stop. Or perhaps it was a sign of hope. This way. The sign was announced by Isaiah some 700 years before it actually appeared. And of course that sign was this: a virgin shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. Now this is not just any virgin, any young woman, no, nor is it any child. Now this is the child whose birth we celebrate today. This is Jesus, the son of Mary. And it isn't just the birth, it's the sign. More important than the birth itself, you see, is the name that he's given. Emmanuel. In Hebrew, the name means God with us. Here is a sign that's full of meaning. You know, the church here could be a useful tool for remembering and celebrating. We celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Easter, and just recently, the last four weeks, we've been celebrating Advent, as we remembered when we lit the Advent candles. Some of you, no doubt, have had Advent calendars up on your wall where you open the door each day and read a verse, or if you're really terrible, you've got chocolates inside and you have a chocolate each day, right? I've never had one of those. That's just so terrible, really. The Advent calendar helps us to count down the days to Christmas. But, you know, Advent is often thought of as a time of looking back to Jesus coming and looking forward to his coming again. And that's often what we talk about. Come Emmanuel. We think in terms of what the people back then thought and what we now think. Come Lord Jesus to return again. But Advent actually doesn't mean either of those two things. It actually means he comes. It's the present tense. It's a present continuous. Jesus comes. Not he came, not he will come, but he comes. He's here right now, is what it's saying. God comes and takes up residence among us. We saw that last week. God comes and dwells among us. God is with us. Not he was with us, or he will be with us. No, God is with us. If I were to ask you what your image of God is, I wonder what you'd say. I was asked this when I was first applied to be ordained. Tell me about God. Well, it's an impossible question to answer, really, isn't it? There are so many things. But you might think of a God who's remote, sitting up in the clouds, looking down on you. Or perhaps it's a God who lets you do your own thing without interfering, who doesn't seem to get involved with human matters, human history anymore. Or it could be a God who sits on the judgment seat waiting for us to appear before him for the final judgment. A God who's to be feared, if we're honest with ourselves. Or it could be a God who sees everything we do. You know, the ultimate big brother who's watching your every move. could be a God who sits in unapproachable light, who is so righteous that nothing impure can come into his presence. Well, apart from the bit about the clouds and the bit about God never interfering in history, all of those have an element of truth in them, don't they? All of those are true in part. And yet they're not the whole truth, are they? Why? Well, because the incredible has happened. God has turned all of that upside down by sending his own son as one of us. Born as a child. Born to dwell among us. No longer is God remote from us. No, he's taken on human flesh. He's shown us his glory in a form that we can actually take it in. Think about it. There's no way you can possibly imagine the glory of God, is there? And yet Jesus has come and shown us that glory. Glory as of the Father's only Son. God is so gracious towards us that he's taken the initiative in bringing us back into relationship with him. But in the process, of course, things for us have changed. If God has come among us, if God is with us every day, hour by hour, then we too need to change. Don't we? And again, God enables that change. He sends his Holy Spirit to be with us, not just as a companion, but as a life force within us that begins to transform us to be more like him. John puts it like this in John chapter 1. Again, we read this last week. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. It's like we're born afresh, filled with God's Spirit and remade in his image as we were meant to be. Does that blow your mind? So our lives are different from that moment forward. Now we walk through life expecting God to be present, acting as though he's with us at every moment. And that in itself changes how we behave, or it should do. But, of course, there's more than us that changes, isn't there? Mary expresses this in her song of praise. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. With God's coming among us, the old standards of greatness are reversed. The lowly peasant girl becomes the mother of God's son. She's lifted up to the highest status in God's world. And then she says, he's shown strength with his arm. He's scattered the proud in the thoughts of their heart. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things and set the rich away empty. So the way we expect things to work in this world are shown to be false. Human constructs that are at odds with God's view of the world. I like the old translation, actually. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. You know, the sort of person that he's thinking of, the person who has a legend in their own mind. That works in English, it probably doesn't work in Chinese. The English expression is the legend in their own time. But of course, these people are different. They imagine they're the greatest and then got upset when the world doesn't fit in with their plans. I'm sure you've met these sort of people. They think they can get away with anything, and sometimes they do for a while. But in the end, they all come to an end. Jesus talked about those who make a big thing of praying in public or fasting in an obvious way, making their face all dirty as though they haven't washed because they've been so busy praying. He said, they've received their reward in full. He said, his followers should do all that in private, and God would reward them in secret. See, we live in a world where there's a pecking order for everything. Have you noticed that? If you're not good enough, you don't get it. There's a hierarchy that determines who matters and who doesn't, who gets the cream, who waits until everyone else has eaten before sitting down to take the leftovers. Sadly, this is even the case in the church in many places. The higher up the chain of command you go, the more privileges you have. I'm not sure that's true in a parish ministry context, by the way. But it's not the way it should be, is it? The way it should be is the way it happens in this parish context. Because Jesus coming among us as a baby, born to an insignificant peasant girl, is the sign that things have changed. That way of thinking is gone. The powerful are thrown down from their thrones. The lowly are lifted up. It's a radical picture, isn't it? It sounds like something out of the Communist Manifesto, actually, doesn't it? Let's overthrow the powerful and what? Well, actually, take power for ourselves is what that sort of thinking is all about. And unfortunately, the Communist Revolution may have thrown down the powerful from their thrones, but just raised up others into the same sorts of position. Not on thrones, but in the Politburo. And I guess we won't see that picture, God's picture, appearing much in our world, will we? People love power too much. But here's the thing. We Christians can start to make a difference right here and now, right in our own neighbourhood, in our own area of influence. See, God has drawn the outline. Now it's up to us to fill in the details. The outline is very clear. The question is, how are you going to colour it in? You see, God is with us is in fact a rallying cry to radical action. God with us means equally that we're with God. Have you thought about that? So what we do matters. What we do will make a difference. We could ignore his presence and go through life as if nothing had changed. Lots of people do that. We could follow the rest of the world in applauding the rich and famous and ignoring the lowly, sending them off to islands in the Pacific or somewhere else. Or we can take seriously the things that God thinks are important. We can offer kindness and support to the homeless, to the asylum seeker, to the refugee, to the single parents in our midst who are doing it so hard. We can give more credit to the quiet people who humbly go about their jobs without looking for praise. We can give recognition to the little people who contribute so much to our life together. And of course, we can refuse to be swayed by the voices of the popular media that want to persuade us to put things other than God's wishes at the top of our priorities. Well, as you sit down to your Christmas dinner this year, if that's what you do, to reflect on it'd be great to stop for just a moment, to reflect on the fact that it isn't just your family or friends or your dog or your cat or whoever it is you have lunch with, dinner with. No, that God is here right with us right now. God is there with you as you sit down to eat. He may not be visible among us, but he is here nevertheless. Sharing our fellowship, speaking to us through his Holy Spirit within us. And may that make your Christmas celebration all the richer and your joy even greater. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have radically changed our world simply by sending your Son to be one of us. We thank you that you have changed us by giving us your Holy Spirit to live within us. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be people who are changed because you're with us and who act as though we are with you in everything we do. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.